52 marathons in 52 weeks. How to run a marathon every week for a year. Written by How Expert Press and Carl Gruber. Narrated by Kurt Zahner. Chapter 1. 52 in 52. Know your why. You're going to do what? You're going to do what? Don't be surprised if these are the exact words you hear from almost everyone when you finally announce to the world that you intend to run 52 marathons in 52 weeks, especially from your family. That's right. You plan to run 26.2 miles, 42.2 kilometers, once a week for a year straight. When you respond to each and every naysayer, let it be with all the passion and seriousness that you can muster, so that they know that you are not joking. You are going to do this. How do I know what people will say when you announce this seemingly gargantuan running effort? One that may seem impossible? Because I did it. I have successfully run one marathon a week for a year. From May 5, 1996 through April 27, 1997, starting at the Cleveland Marathon in Cleveland, Ohio, and finishing 52 weeks later at the Big Sur Marathon in Carmel, California, I became the ninth man in the world to successfully run and complete 52 certified Boston Marathon qualifying organized marathons. I called it my Super Run for the Cure because of a little five-year-old boy I knew, Glenn Miller Jr. of Logan, Ohio, who was diagnosed with the disease leukemia and passed away. This motivated me to hit the road and travel around North America, Canada, Alaska, and Hawaii to use my marathon as a vehicle to raise money and awareness for leukemia research and a cure. So you can see that as author of this writing, I walk, or rather, run, with integrity. I can truly say, been there, done that. Now that you understand this, I want you to know that I'm here to be your guide as you go into a year of running a total of 1,362.4 miles, 2,194.4 kilometers, filled with uncertainties, anxieties, naysayers, yet plenty of passion, determination, perseverance, and a damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead attitude. When you hear those first statements of, you're going to do what? It is time to shake off any self-doubt and respond firmly that you plan to and are going to successfully run 52 marathons in 52 weeks. Now your idea, your plan is committed to move forward. In many ways, finally saying your goal out loud to the world adds some heft to it and puts some weight on your shoulders to do it. Subconsciously, you're saying to yourself, okay, I told the world I'm going to do this, so now I better do it. And in the face of those first incredulous words, you're going to do what? Your will is either going to buckle, collapse, and give up on the idea, or you're going to gain strength and move forward toward that first starting line with a will of steel, determined to do it. I do, however, have a feeling that if you are reading this right now, and have an interest in accomplishing some kind of homogeneous running feat, that you can and will do it. Throughout this guide on how to run a marathon a week for 52 straight weeks, I will provide you with some of my own personal experiences from my own year of marathoning. They say that truth is stranger than fiction, and I can assure you that I can verify this. Some of the people, places, and things that I experienced and dealt with throughout my entire year of running are just ridiculously over-the-top crazy and hard to believe. But they all really happened. It was all part of my journey to adding my name to the list of runners who have joined Club 5252. A prime example of this is an almost mystical experience that happened to me during one of my morning training runs prior to the start of my 52 marathons. It had already been several months since I came up with the idea for my Super Run for the Cure, with my mission being my running 26.2 miles once a week for 52 weeks to raise money and awareness for leukemia research. I had become a member of the Leukemia Society of America's marathon training group, Team in Training, where healthy runners trained to run a marathon and raised money along the way for leukemia research. One of the things that TNT, the acronym most people used, did was to match each runner with a leukemia patient so that it became more personal and so that you could understand exactly how horrible the disease is. As mentioned earlier, I was matched with a little 5-year-old boy, Glenn Miller Jr. He was then a sweet, healthy-looking young boy. But over the ensuing weeks and months, the leukemia ravished his body. He ended up passing away. Dealing with little Glenn's passing was tough enough, but trying to get my super run for the cure up and running was meeting with several roadblocks. My number one roadblock was the very organization that I was going to run the marathons and raise the money for, the Leukemia Society of America. While I had success on a local level with my Central Ohio chapter of TNT, I had little, if any, success in securing the endorsement and help of the National Office of the Leukemia Society of America. They simply would not believe that I was legitimate and/or that I really could do this. Many times during my year of running, I heard indirectly that people within the LSA thought I was doing my run for personal gain and fame, which could not be further from the truth. Here I was, only a few weeks from marathon number one of my 52 marathons in Cleveland, Ohio, and I was very, very frustrated, to say the least. Instead of causing me to lose faith in my upcoming mission and wavering in my commitment to do my year of running, I became more determined than ever, saying to myself during each one of my training runs, "I will do this." With this scenario in mind, on this particular morning, I was running down a rough dirt and gravel road throughout the rugged but beautiful countryside in Hocking County, located in southeastern Ohio. The morning fog and mist was starting to lift as the rays of sun lit up the countryside as it rose above the horizon. I was near the end of my 6-mile run, lost in thought, when all of a sudden, I realized that I was not alone. It was then that I looked up and saw thousands of people of all ages and creeds lining both sides of the dirt road, cheering me on and clapping as they yelled, "Carl, be our hero! Be our hero! Be our hero!" It was then that I realized that these were the spirits of leukemia victims who had succumbed to the disease throughout the ages, and they were appearing to encourage me to move forward with my mission of running 52 marathons in 52 weeks for a cure for leukemia. I was stunned as I witnessed this incredible scene, and I thought to myself as I kept running that so many have died. Then I perceived a group of young, healthy-looking children running and laughing joyously in front of me. It was then that I realized that they were led by little Glenn Miller Jr., looking just as he did when I met him the very first time, healthy and happy. I never stopped running, and as I crested a small hill that led back to my home, the scene slowly faded, as did their shouts of, "Carl, be our hero." I stopped at the top of the hill and looked back, and in stunned silence and dripping with sweat, all I saw were the brilliant rays of sun cutting through the wafts of mist. The only sounds that resounded were the songbirds greeting the new morning, as I turned and said to myself with a will of steel, "I will do this," and ran as hard as I could the last mile to my house. So, let us run together to the next part of this book and learn the history and the runners who laid the groundwork for you to do this year of marathoning. The history of a marathon a week running. In hindsight, I can't say that I'm sure just where my idea of running a marathon a week for a year even came from. I can't recall ever having heard of anyone doing this type of running feat, let alone having ever heard of anything called ultra running. My idea to do this was an epiphany, at least on the personal level. It was not until I got into my year of running 26.2 miles once a week that I met many runners from the 50 States Marathon Club, who regaled me with their own massive marathon running adventures. They welcomed me with open arms, and I soon became a part of their closed circle of marathon maniacs and shared many good times with them week after week, in city after city, and in state after state. Getting to know these runners and becoming a part of their marathoning community soon perked up my interest in who and how many people had already accomplished what I was attempting to do. It all started with an ex-Marine, 24-year-old Jay Helgerson, who dropped out of the University of San Francisco to do it. From January 1979 to January 1980, Helgerson became the first person on record to run and complete one marathon a week for 52 straight weeks. He was consistently a sub-3-hour marathoner, and he had just run a 3-hour, 9-minute marathon, so he entered another marathon the next week to improve his time, and then another, and another. It was Jay Helgerson who established this new threshold of running consecutive weekly marathons. Since Helgerson's accomplishment in 1979-1980, the marathon-a-week list of runners has slowly become longer and longer, especially since the beginning of the 21st century. My investigation as to who the 2nd through 7th runners were, who also accomplished the 52 and 52, has proved to be fruitless, even after I asked the people who should know, the 50 States Marathon Club. However, as you pursue having your own name written in the 52 and 52 record book, please understand that what you are doing is in no way new and unprecedented. With this in mind, in no way, shape, or form does this diminish what you are about to undertake as a runner. As a matter of fact, and I can say this with absolute certainty, it's huge. According to the 50 States Marathon Club, Runner's World Magazine, and other sources, here is a short list of just some of the amazing multiple weekly marathoning that has been accomplished. Gordon Hartshorn, who was the 8th man to hit 52 and 52, ran 74 marathons in 74 weeks in 1996 and 97. Larry Macon ran 106 marathons in 2010, then completed 255 in 2013. Wally Herman ran a marathon in all 50 states in 1983. Yolanda Holder ran 106 marathons in 2010. The same year Larry Macon ran 106. Ray Scharenbrock has completed marathons in all 50 states and Washington, D.C. 10 times. Julie Weiss of Santa Monica, California became one of the few women to successfully run 52 and 52 in 2012-2013. In 2013, Jim Simpson became the first American to run a total of 1,000 marathons. Rick Worley was the first to run a marathon in all 50 states, plus D.C., in one calendar year in 1997, and then went on to once run 200 marathons in 159 weeks. In Denmark, a woman named Annette Fredskov ran and completed a marathon every day, 366 of them, from July 15, 2012, and July 14, 2013. It should be noted that she didn't run in certified road races, but instead ran most of her marathons on a 3.48-mile loop by her home. But the one all-time champion of multiple weekly marathons has to be Chuck Engel of Lancaster, Ohio. Here's a list of his amazing marathon prowess. By 2010, he had run 200 sub-3-hour marathons. He has run a marathon in all 50 states with an average of 2 hours 38 minutes. He has won a marathon in all 50 states. He set a world record for the most marathons won by one person, 145. To top off this amazing list of incredible distance runners is the king of the ultra marathons, any distance beyond 26.2 miles, Dan Karnazes. Karnazes's running biography reads like this: ran 350 miles, 560 kilometers, in 80 hours and 44 minutes. Without sleep in 2005. Single-handedly completed the relay, a 199-mile, 320-kilometer run from Calistoga to Santa Cruz 11 times. Ran a marathon to the South Pole in negative 13 degree Fahrenheit, negative 25 degree Celsius temperatures without snowshoes in 2002. Ran a marathon in each of the 50 states in 50 consecutive days in 2006. Other athletic achievements include winner Badwater Ultra Marathon, 135 miles, 217 kilometers across Death Valley in 120 degree Fahrenheit, 49 degrees Celsius temperatures, 2004, with five other top 10 finishes from 2000 to 2008. Winner, Vermont Trail 100 Mile Endurance Run, 2006. Overall winner, Four Deserts Race Series, 2008. American Ultra Running Team, World Championships, 2005 and 2008. 148 miles, 238 kilometers in 24 hours on a treadmill in 2004. 11-time 100-mile, one-day silver buckle holder at the Western States Endurance Run, i.e., better than 10 24-hour finishes, 1995 to 2006. Ran 3,000 miles, 4,800 kilometers across the United States from Disneyland to New York City in 75 days, running 40 to 50 miles, 65 to 80 kilometers per day, 2011. One of the very cool things that were a product of my Super Run for the Cure was that I got to run with some of these amazing people and become friends with them. Specifically, I got to know Ray Scharenbrock and my fellow weekly marathoner, Gordon Hartshorn. The most incredible and almost unbelievable thing about Gordon was that he ran all 74 of his marathons in 74 weeks while he had prostate cancer. Gordon's streak was 12 marathons ahead of mine, and he kept running week after week, even after I finished my 52 and 52 streak in April 1997. It was a really strange synchronicity that I found out what happened to Gordon after his streak of marathon running ended. I was running the half marathon in Parkersburg, West Virginia, a couple years later, and I started to chat with the guy running next to me. It turned out to be Gordon's nephew, who told me that Gordon had recently passed away, finally succumbing to his prostate cancer. How appropriate that I would find this news out while I was running a race. Turns out that I ran a really good half marathon time because I knew that Gordon was there pacing me that day. Of all the wild and crazy characters I met that year of running, the one that sticks out the most in my mind is Steve Boone. Steve was one of the administrators of the 50 States Marathon Club, which is based out of his hometown of Houston, Texas. My first images of Steve was him coming across the finish line of one of my marathons, and what a sight he was. Running with no shirt on, with long, flowing, shoulder-length gray hair, and bald on top. To top it off, he had a cigar in his mouth as he crossed the finish. I would become good friends with Steve over the ensuing year of running, and would encounter him and his cadre of 50 state marathoners in city after city, race after race. I was even with Steve when he met his future wife, Paula, as he and I stood at a bus stop in Boston, my 51st marathon of the year, waiting to go to the Marathon Expo. I am going to guess with pretty good accuracy that you too will have some astounding and almost unbelievable experiences throughout your year of running 52 marathons, just like I did. So even though your head is spinning with the stunning logistics and the overall plan to run 52 marathons in 52 consecutive weeks, you can see that the trail has already been blazed for you. Rather, I should say, the trail has been brightly lit by halogen lamps. This should give you the confidence to accomplish your year of marathoning, because those who preceded you will carry you on their shoulders from their running efforts. You have the knowledge that anything is possible in the world of running. The running legacy of Terry Fox. Of all the runners who have established mass marathoning as something to be recognized, and who have been the greatest inspiration of all to all people around the world, it is Terry Fox. No story on weekly marathon running could ever be written or told without acknowledging this legendary effort. While I was doing research to get my Super Run for the Cure up and running, I came across the story of a young Canadian hero named Terry Fox. I couldn't believe it when I read that at the young age of 19 years old, Terry was diagnosed with a cancerous tumor in his right leg. Unfortunately, his leg had to be amputated above the knee to save his life. What does this have to do with running? Specifically, mass marathoning? Well, it seems that during Terry's recuperation after the amputation, he came up with the idea to run across Canada, from east to west coast, at a marathon a day or more, in order to raise money and awareness for a cure for cancer. So, on April 12, 1980, starting in St. John's, Newfoundland, Terry, with only one buddy in a van as his support, set off on his Cross Canada Marathon of Hope. Running on one good leg and one low-tech prosthesis, he took on the challenge of running across the entire country of Canada, day after day, a marathon or more every day, all on just one good leg. At first, the Canadian Cancer Society did not back his effort. That is, until the media picked up on this gritty young man with one good leg running across their huge country. The Canadian media started doing daily stories on Terry's amazing marathon of hope and how he just would not quit. Soon, every town he ran through found him being trailed by long lines of cars filled with his fans encouraging him on. Every city brought more and more media coverage, and this was all before anything like the internet and social media even were a flicker on the reality screen of the world. Once the notoriety and fame of his efforts spread, then the Canadian Cancer Society came on board to support him. This inspired me to not give up hope, as the National Office of the Leukemia Society was not supporting me. After 143 days and 5,373 kilometers, 3,339 miles of running, Terry had to stop his incredible run at Thunder Bay, Ontario, because his cancer had recurred and spread to his lungs. Even though this cancer put him down, the nation of Canada responded en masse by donating $24 million for cancer research and Terry's Marathon of Hope. On June 28, 1981, Terry Fox died at the age of 23 years old. But that did not stop the effort to find a cure for cancer in the country of Canada. In 2016, the Terry Fox Foundation announced that over $715 million had been raised in Terry's name. Since his passing in 1981, over and over and over again, Terry Fox has consistently been named one of Canada's top heroes, all from running a marathon or more a day for 143 straight days on one good leg. Once I had read Terry Fox's story, I was hooked. All I could think of at the time was, seriously? This guy could run a marathon a day on only one good leg? Think what you can do, Carl, on two healthy legs. A wimpy, once-a-week, 26.2-mile run should be quite doable then. His fame and legend grew so big that the television movie network HBO eventually went on to do a movie about Terry's life and his run. Also, because of Terry, I found that when I ran marathons in Canada, I ran Ottawa, Calgary, and Montreal, I was received and supported fantastically by the people of Canada, simply because they understood exactly what I was doing and why I was doing it, all because of Terry Fox. I most definitely heard far less statements of, "You're crazy," in Canada than I did in the States. So if you're thinking of doing a full year or more of running marathons, look no further than the story of the amazing Terry Fox and his Marathon of Hope run in 1980 for inspiration. Believe me, there is no greater runner and no greater inspiration than Terry Fox.
Create a mission statement. This chapter is titled 52 in 52. Know your why. And that is why it is so important to create your own mission statement as to the why and how of your running 52 marathons in 52 weeks. Running in and of itself is sufficient. It's healthy, it keeps you fit, it's meditative, and it is a way to self-express yourself with your lifestyle. However, when it comes to taking on something as tremendous as running one marathon a week for a year, then you need to have focus, purpose, and commitment. Your purpose and commitment are what will keep you running week after week after week, through all of the trials and tribulations you will encounter. It will keep you running through all of your victories and all of your defeats, and through the highs and lows of running mile after mile after mile. This is why it is vitally important for you to create a mission statement for yourself before you begin your run. You may have a cause like I did, running for a cure for leukemia. You may be running to honor the memory of a loved one. Or you may simply be running to prove to yourself that you can do it. Maybe even break a world record. Whatever your reason for wanting to run 52 marathons in 52 weeks, take the time to sit down and write out a mission statement, like, from September 7th, 2020 to September 6th, 2021, I will successfully run and complete 52 marathons in 52 weeks with the purpose of state your purpose or mission. By creating and writing down this mission statement, you will be able to respond with purpose and affirmation when someone comes up to you with the ever-present statement, "You're doing what? You're crazy." Not only that, but writing and verbalizing your mission statement actually adds power and emotion to what you're going to attempt to accomplish, which translate into faith and belief in yourself that you really can do it. These days, it seems that almost every race or run has some form of charity or cause attached to it, and there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. However, it is also okay for you to do this year of running just for yourself, because you can. The beauty of running is that, in and of itself, is a form of self-expression, a stress reliever, and a boundless extension of a healthy and fit lifestyle. Regardless of your reason to run 52 and 52, make it a point to still create your mission statement, as at some point in time during your year of running, it may be the only thing you have to hang on to. Post this statement on your dashboard, type it into your smartphone, or post it on the mirror of your hotel room. The point is to always keep it at the forefront of your mind as you near yet another finish line. I can verify just why it is so important to have a mission statement prepared as you go into your year of running marathons, especially if you are running for a cause. As previously mentioned, I had a few proponents who encouraged me along the way, and unfortunately, the key naysayers of mine existed within the Leukemia Society of America, the organization that I was running to help benefit. However, it did not take long for me to realize that I had tremendous support from the general population of runners and non-runners that I came into contact with over the 52 weeks. My mission statement of, "I will run 52 marathons in 52 weeks to raise $1 million for leukemia research and awareness," most definitely caught the attention of the general populace of every single town I visited during my travels and running. Much of the time, I would have a booth set up at the pre-race expo, and person after person would come up to me with encouragement, kind words, and a donation, plus the inevitable, "That's crazy," comment. As a matter of fact, I believe that if it weren't for this street-level support I've received along the way, I might have become totally despondent and even given up. I realized that once people find out that your mission is one that drives them emotionally via their own experiences, they will many times offer you unsolicited support with such things as a free place to stay, food, financial donations, and a lasting friendship. Many, many times I rolled into a town without any idea where I was going to stay, or if I even had the money to continue my trek, and I would leave town after the marathon with a full stomach, money in my pocket, new friends, and a shiny finisher's medal hanging from my neck. For example, my fourth marathon of my 52 happened to be the Coeur d'Alene, Idaho Marathon, which was scheduled to be run on my birthday, May 26, 1996. I had previously contacted the race director, Gail Jacklin, about seeing if she could provide me with any support, and I let her know what my missions of running the marathons was. As it turned out, my visit to run 26.2 miles in Little Coeur d'Alene was the place that taught me all about the unbeknownst open-door policy of the people of America and Canada. Gail Jacklin, as it turned out, instantly became one of my biggest supporters of my Super Run for the Cure. Not only did she put me up in her own beautiful home, but after she won the overall female marathon division, yes, won, she then had me as the guest of honor at a cookout at her home, made a birthday cake for me, gave me a new jacket as a present, and then sent me on my way the next morning with fresh homemade munchies she had prepared herself. What an absolutely phenomenal way for my heart and mind to be opened by this amazing support I received from not only Gail Jacklin, but from the entire running community and the town of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And this was just the beginning of amazing after awesome after incredible experiences of support I would receive throughout the year. All because people got wind of what my mission was and threw their unconditional support behind me. This continual support that I stumbled upon in city after city, week after week, was the wind for my sails that propelled me to the finish line of marathon number 52 at the Big Sur Marathon on April 27, 1997. I think that you may be able to see from my experience as a member of Club 5252 that having the powerful force of a cause adds deep emotion and determination to move forward, against all odds, to accomplish running the seemingly impossible task of running 52 marathons in 52 weeks. Running 52 marathons in 52 weeks takes passion. So you have announced to the world what you intend to do. Run 52 marathons in 52 weeks. And you've made the commitment by writing your mission statement. Sure, you've been training for weeks and months, maybe even for years as a runner to do this. But do you have the key ingredient it takes to get you through the grind of 52 straight weeks of running 26.2 miles? That key element is passion. If you don't have the passion to do this, you more than likely will fail in this endeavor. Passion is a mixture of desire, strong motivation, inspiration, perspiration, and downright determination to accomplish your mission. If you look at having passion to run this year of marathons from a pure emotional standpoint, you've got to have heart. There could be nothing worse than getting 20 weeks in of your running marathons and simply losing interest in it, or allowing the simplest tribulations or roadblocks to keep you from moving ahead to that 52nd finish line. Your passion to accomplish this mission is directly linked to your reason to do this. So make sure this is a powerful combination that will fuel your engine throughout the year. If your passion wanes sometimes throughout the year, which it most certainly will, remember to relight the fire of your passion to keep you going. Many times, the naysayers along the way can be just the fuel you need to rekindle your passion, as your competitiveness and determination again grow brighter. Make your year-long mantra, "I can do this." During those many months throughout the year when I was down and depressed, and wondering out loud, usually during yet another 14-hour drive across the middle of nowhere on yet another interstate highway, I would once again conjure up the incredible image of those thousands of leukemia victims that had appeared to me, cheering me on and yelling, "Carl, be our hero!" during that misty early morning training run I was doing on the backcountry roads of Hawking County, Ohio. I would draw courage and passion from yet another city where I once again received massive support from not only the race director, but the local people and even the media. Running 52 marathons in 52 weeks takes money. When I came up with the idea for my Super Run for the Cure, I figured I would come up with the money to accomplish this seemingly gargantuan effort by getting sponsors to foot the bill. Easy peasy, right? When much of my proposed sponsorships failed to pan out, I went to Plan B, to find the needed money to stay on the road and run for an entire year. So what did my buddy Jerry Snyder do, one of the three key people who helped me throughout the year? Why, put me in debt $5,000 before I even started running. No kidding! Somehow, Jerry had convinced a local Columbus, Ohio printing company to make up 1,000 t-shirts screen-printed with not only a caricature of me on it, but the words, "Save a life, wear a Gruber." Not only did Jerry make this arrangement with the company to sell them to me for just $5 each, but they gave them to me up front and told me to just pay them the $5,000 as I could during the ensuing year. When Jerry first told me about this, I flipped out and said, "You did what?" I was so mad. But as the year went on and I needed finances to keep going, those 1,000 t-shirts helped keep me on the road. Just how that happened was many of the marathons allowed me to set up a booth at the pre-race expo to not only promote my effort, but sell my Save a Life, Wear a Gruber t-shirts. Before I used any of the money I made from selling the t-shirts for expenses of traveling all year long, I sent every single dollar I made on them to the company who had fronted me the t-shirts until the $5,000 was paid off. From that point on, I did use the t-shirt money to keep me going. However, I did not have to, but when I did sell a t-shirt and someone wrote a check for it, I had them make it out to the Leukemia Society of America. If the buyer paid cash for the shirt, then I used it for my expenses of keeping my Super Run for the Cure going. After all, it was my own money that I had invested in them. This fact, evidently, turned into a point of contention with the LSA, as I heard through the grapevine that some of the people within their organization thought I was just using my 52 marathons in 52 weeks to make money for myself and gain some fame. My t-shirt revenue, however, was not the only money that I used to keep on the road. Not only did I run through the entire line of credit that I had on the equity